Let's turn to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29. Now, this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull, two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. And you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them, and they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute, so you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull, and you shall slaughter the bull before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and you shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its hide and its refuse you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take the one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall slaughter the ram and shall take its blood and sprinkle it around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into its pieces and wash its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and its head. And you shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram and take some of its blood, put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and the lobes of his sons' right ears, and on the thumbs of the right hands, on the big toes of the right feet, and sprinkle the rest of the blood around on the altar. Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and his sons and all and on his sons' garments with him, so he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. You shall also take the fat from the ram and the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, and the lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and the right thigh, for it is a ram of ordination. The one cake of bread, and one cake of bread mixed with oil, and one wafer from the basket of unleavened bread, which is set before the Lord. And shall put all these in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall take them from their hands and offer them up in smoke on the altar of the burnt offering for a soothing aroma before the Lord is an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of Aaron's ram of ordination and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, which was waved and which was offered from the ram of ordination, from the one which was for Aaron and from the one which was for his sons. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons as their portion forever from the sons of Israel, for it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the sons of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, even their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, and that in them shall be anointed and ordained. For 7 days the one of his sons who is priest in his stead shall put them on when he enters the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place. You shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place, and Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Thus they shall eat those things by which atonement was made at their ordination and consecration, but a layman shall not eat them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of ordination or any of the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. And thus you shall do to Aaron and to his sons according to all that I have commanded you. You shall ordain them through 7 days. And each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement, and you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar should be most holy, and whatever touches the altar should be holy. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar, 2 one-year-old lambs each day continuously. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine for libation with one lamb. And the other lamb you shall offer at the twilight, and shall offer with the same grain offering as the morning, and the same libation, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak to you there. And I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. And I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Amen. Let me just preface everything by saying I'm personally very weak with all these sacrifices. I didn't really study them all that much. And a lot of it is because, you know, part of it, I understand the New Testament mandate that Jesus Christ is a sacrifice. So I, you know, that's my confession. So I didn't really trouble myself to really study all these aspects, but I'll give you a little bit of what I do know. So the first part is now, you know, before they set the temple, they lay out all the different aspects of the tent of meeting, exactly how it's run. And then the last chapter dealt with the robe and all the vestments of the garments that they're to wear as they come in. And now we get to what they're supposed to do. So everything is, this is the room, this is how it's set up, this is what they're supposed to wear. And now we get to the nitty-gritty of, well, what is all that purpose for? And the first thing that they need to do is you need to recognize that you, Aaron, and his sons as priests, first thing is you need to consecrate yourself. And so even though you're a priest and chosen by God and all these things, you too need atonement. You as well also need forgiveness of sins. And so the first thing that happens is that the priests are consecrated before the Lord. In other words, they are made holy by the sacrifice, in this case, of the one young bull and 2 rams without blemish. And this is a really important point in the sense that even the person chosen by God, and this would be for generations. It says here that these guys will be that this family line will be the ones that will take over this duty generation after generation. And even this chosen group of people also need atonement, that they are also sinners. And there is, in of themselves, there is nothing that they can do to qualify them for this holy, holy work. And so what God does, he provides a substitutionary atonement. In this case, in the Old Testament idea, that it's this young bull and rams that are without blemish. And obviously the New Testament, or the New Covenant, is really about the Lord Jesus Christ that pays that price for us. And so that's the first thing to do. So they're meant to stand at the doorway, and it's interesting, the procedure. And so you come in, and there's all these different things happening. Remember, the Holy of Holies is only entered once a year at the feast. And so they come in, and they stand at the doorway, and it's this really incredible picture that they are coming in partnership with the people, and they're the intermediaries. The people are there, and they're watching. They can see, and so they're in the doorway, and then they're right at the presence of God. And so they're kind of in the middle in a way. And so they're there, and they're making all these sacrifices and, you know, dealing with the partnership. And so they come with the flour. They do all these things they're supposed to do. They take the bull and the ram, and at the tent of meeting, they wash them with water, and then they take the garments and put it all on them. And so you see this order. So they're at the place. They put all the pageantry and the robes and everything. And the next thing they do, which is really important, they put the turban on, and then they anoint them with the oil. And so what the oil represented, whenever you see this in the scriptures, represented the Holy Spirit. And now they're going to now be anointed with the Holy Spirit. And notice, it doesn't happen outside the tent. It always happens right at the doorway. And right when they come into that place, now they are ready to receive. Now they're ready to do what they need to do. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on the head, and anoint him with the Spirit. And now in partnership, not only with people watching, but now in partnership with the Spirit, now they're going to act and begin to do the things that they need to do. So particularly, there's three sacrifices that are woven in here during this time. The first sacrifice is, you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons lay their hands on the head of the bull. This is what's typically known as the guilt offering, or sometimes we call it the sin offering. And so they come in, and now this is in payment for their sins. The priests, and as well as the people, they come in and they're supposed to take the head of the bull, and right there on at the doorway, and they, you know, chop and take care of all these things. Is quite elaborate, the whole setup. And so they take that, and at the end of 14 it says, "You shall burn with fire outside the camp. This is a sin offering." And so this is what's offered for the sins of the people of Israel. Also, another translation says it's also the guilt offering, that mankind, human beings, the greatest need that we have as humans is to deal with our sins. Psychologists, social scientists, they use all different words and all different ideas, but the central idea, when you really break it down, is the issue of sin. Every single person on the face of this planet must deal with their sins in some way. Some deal with it by doing good works. Some deal with it by anesthetizing themselves with drugs and all different kinds of activities. Many people deal with it in many different ways. The only way that you can fully deal with it is through relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is our sin offering, our guilt offering before the Lord. The next offering, the next sacrifice that's offered up, he says, now you take one ram, so that before you had the bull. So the ram, in other words, you could say a sheep or whatnot, a goat. And Aaron and his sons will lay hands on the head of the ram, and you'll slaughter the ram and take its blood, sprinkle it around the altar, and then you shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. And this is what he calls a burnt offering. And this is to the Lord as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. And this is purely an act of worship to God. It's this fragrant aroma. Paul, later on, will use this same imagery, and he'll talk about our prayers and our worship are a fragrant aroma unto God. And you can see that the new covenant idea of this burnt offering is the incense that doesn't rise up from the smoke of the sacrifice, but rises up from the smoke, the incense of offering that we raise up through our prayers and through our worship of God. And he says it's a sweet aroma unto the Lord. And so we see we have that equivalent there. And then the next part, from verse 19, the Bible tells us this is what we call a peace offering. And so this happens in conjunction. One is just totally unto the Lord. The sin offering is unto the Lord. We can't do anything at all by which to come into this place. Only God himself offers that sacrifice. And then the burnt offering is unto the Lord. And now we have the peace offering. And this is a partnership with God. And how it's demonstrated. So now you'll take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons will take that, will slaughter the ram, but now, instead of all the blood, half the blood now is going to be expressed. So you're going to take it on the right earlobe. In other words, all the appendages of the human body, you're to sprinkle some of this blood, and then at the end of it, you're supposed to sprinkle on their garment. I mean, you can imagine this was just a bloody mess that's going on here. I mean, just a mess all day long, all the time. And so the idea is that, you know, from the thumbs of the right hands, the big toes of the right feet, sprinkle the rest of the blood around the altar, some of the blood that is on the altar, some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, on his sons and his garments, and take the fat and do this whole thing, and then they'll be offered a burnt offering. And so what that represented is the atonement is sufficient for everything. And so this is where the man comes in this partnership, offering this peace offering, and that you know, the other two things are only unto God. Now man steps into this place, and he is blessed and anointed, and you know, the ear, the appendages, the feet, the everything, the sprinkling, the blood. Think about this: the blood and the oil together. Right? And so it's the sacrifice as well as the anointing that comes together. And generally, when God really begins to move through us, there's this duality that happens. The first one is the forgiveness of sins is given to us. And so we're free. I mean, what an incredible blessing. But also with the forgiveness of sins is the anointing to do His work. It is the giving of the Spirit to carry on what God desires for His people to come in partnership with. And so we see that this peace offering, you know, represented that everything, all right, the another way of saying is the atonement was totally sufficient for all of our life, for every part of our body, our existence. You know, and then this is obviously something that's passed on generationally, because it goes to Aaron, and then it goes to Aaron's sons. And it will continue to go forth again and again and again. And then, so after all these things are happening, they're to take these holy garments and the ephod and all these things, and they're to be passed down from generation to generation to generation. And what that really typifies more than anything else is, in a way you could say it like this: every generation has an anointing. Every generation has a purpose in God. Everyone, our generation as well, in the time that we live in right now, there is an anointing of God and there is a purpose of God. In a sense, and we could, you could see things kind of pass through. Like if you look throughout church history, that there were moments of incredible missionary activity. You know, you can think of like the student volunteer movement. You can think of William Carey. And just an incredible move of God, you know, Livingston. And that, I would say that generation really pioneered the modern missions movement. It was just really amazing. And you could say that generation, the anointing, was really for missions. It would be pretty safe to say that when we talk about this coming generation now, that's kind of coming into fruition, that really probably the anointing of this generation is probably the issue of justice. This is my safe guess to say this. And obviously it's not just one thing, but I've in my years of being a pastor and whatnot, I've never really seen so many young people so gung-ho about issues of justice. And I feel like that this coming generation, that is probably the anointing, or in a way of saying it is, it's the garment that's being passed on from one generation to the next. You know, I'd say about 20 years ago, it was probably the prophetic movement. And just a renewal, in a sense, of people hearing God's voice again. And so you'll see that, you know, every 20 years or so, that the garment, in a sense, is being passed on from one generation to another. And part of that is the purposes of that generation as well as the anointing of that generation. You know, I'd probably say maybe 20 years ago or so, it was probably also worship. And now that we get closer to the end times, that the generations are turning over quicker and quicker than the 40-year slots that were happening. It's just my my humble thoughts I give to you, okay? And so take it or leave it, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But just, you know, things that I think about and whatnot as I pray. And so these are things that are happening. And then what happens is that the priests, they're not paid per se, that they're totally offering themselves sacrificially. And so the offering itself, because again, this partnership, they receive the food from this offering. And so they eat it right there also at the tent. And so whatever part of the offering, the priests begin to take up. And this is where you, the modern, not so modern, but the transition happens that this is why pastors and whatnot, that we receive part of the gift, if you understand what I mean. Now our offering happens more monetarily as well as physically in the sense of our service and our worship unto the Lord. And so the priests in our modern setting, the pastors or the staff or those that are called to run and minister in the house of God and His church, and they would receive a salary or they would receive, you know, whatever offering that comes in, and it's this idea that comes from the food of the priest. So this is the offering that's given, and so part of the offering the priest can partake in. And so that's kind of where it all happens. And so when is this supposed to happen? This is going to happen all the time, twice a day, rams, you know, two every single day, and it's just continually going to come. And then when it comes to Sabbath and that moment where these three particular sacrifices take place, there's going to be that moment there when that happens. The other times the sons can actually administer this, but that one time it's just going to be Aaron and then eventually the head high priest and what happens. And so what is the result or what's the effect of obeying God? And that's really what this is about obedience. What's the effect when you do this? And he says, when this happens, in verse 42, the end of this, it says, where I will meet you and speak with you there, 43, I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And so what is the benefit? What is the result of obedience and following what God says? God says that I'll come. And, I mean, even in that statement itself is pretty stinking amazing. God says, I'm going to come. I'm going to dwell in that place. My glory is going to come in that place. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. And God is relating now in this divine relationship that occurs. When we walk in obedience to the Lord, when we offer up to God what is necessary, in other words, God's blessed us in so many ways, and we offer back to the Lord what really is His to begin with, and we walk in this kind of obedience to the Lord, God comes. And he speaks, and he dwells with us. The Bible tells us in James, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And there's this aspect that when our hearts are turned to the Lord, God shows up in his glory. Now, listen, when our hearts are not turned to the Lord, God is still there. You guys understand this? But his glory may not be. And so there's a sense of the power and the presence that's manifested in a way that is tangible to us, the Shekinah, and this is what we need to walk in. So let's close our eyes today. The first thing, you know, man, let's thank God that Jesus Christ became our atonement. Let's thank God that, man, we, can you imagine? You know, honestly, if we go back to the Old Testament stuff, I would not want to be a priest. I might just get bloodied up every single day. I mean, it would be horrible. I mean, we just cleaned our carpet this week. Can you imagine our carpet cleaning bill if we kept doing this? I know I'm being a little silly, but thank God that what we could not do on our own, Jesus Christ did. The blameless, spotless, innocent Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And I think the first order of business is just to thank Jesus. Thank God for sending His Son. The other part is more of a reflection. Just think about our obedience. Because He is Lord, simply by that statement means that we ought to obey. And so in that, are we obeying what we hear God asking us to do?
Secure my peace. Your grace. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. And I know I'm weak, I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But
let's go before the Lord. Let's just thank Him. He is our atoning sacrifice. What we were incapable of doing on our own, Christ did for us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just pause this moment and just really thank Him with all of our heart. Let's go to our prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer and going through chemo and whatnot. If you guys were not here yesterday, I made an announcement. You know, we've been praying for Pastor Keith. He's my old pastor back in Southern California who had prostate cancer, and he was healed. He actually didn't go through any treatment at all. He felt like God speak to him and say, you know, I feel like the Lord just wants me to pray through this. And he just went and had another test and exam. And yeah, the cancer is totally gone, right? So praise God. So they thank you for your prayers. The Park family thanks you. And so let's continue to pray with faith and pray with God's encouragement that He's going to do the same for our friends here on this list. So let's lift up right now. Let's pray for our friends and community members who are ill, but also they need to meet with Jesus. You know, like I mentioned, the greatest need is forgiveness of sins. Let's pray that our friends on this list would be healed physically, but also spiritually, that their sins would be forgiven as they come to Jesus. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision over their lives. Go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Now let's pray for our government officials, and let's ask for the wisdom of God, the purposes of God to be displayed through their actions and the decisions that they make. Let's pray over the wealth gap here in Hong Kong. Let's ask God to release revival and into this place. Pray for the churches here. Pray for YWAM Hong Kong, our ministers that minister here. Pray for Sports Services International. They're having their Hot Hoops camp this coming week. Pray for Godwin and Shanti, especially as they wrapped up VBS and Special Needs Camp. That'd be a good follow-through afterwards. Pray for Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Face-to-Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. And let's ask God's hand to be with our friends and partners here in Hong Kong, and the Lord to really minister powerfully through our churches and through organizations here. Let's pray over our missions committee. Let's ask God's hand to be with our leaders as they lead us in our missions endeavors. Pray for Holy Spirit wisdom and continued divine connections with our partners. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. Pray for our volunteers and our leaders in each of the ministries. Let's pray for our community center that's continued to be used well. Pray for Agape, for the Homie ministry, the ministry to the poor. Let's pray for SP Lights, Freedom, our prison ministry, our translation ministry, and for Mother's Choice. Let's ask God's hand to be with us and our teams as they go. Pray for anointing, protection, Pray for wisdom to share God's heart and His love. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our activities tonight. Pray for the intercessory prayer team. Pray for the college ministry, SPU, and pray for the river. Ask the Lord to just really meet with us tonight as we gather in these different meetings, and that people's lives will be transformed as we come together. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We are so grateful, thankful, Lord, for your sacrifice. God, your atonement, Father, Lord, fulfills, God, every need that we could ever have. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Just watch over us today. Help us to live out of this gratitude, Lord. We thank you. We bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.